Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
Amen. Thank you for that great prayer. And today is Easter. He is risen. Indeed, yes. That is so much victory in our lives. Amen. And just to process it all. And I just was filled, as you were talking, the songs we're singing, I was just reminded again this resurrection power. And I know some of you sitting here, you're looking for divine answers. You're looking for a divine solution. You're looking for God to do something wonderful. His resurrection power is at work. And I was just praying it over. And Sandy, if you're sitting in your bed right now, the resurrection power is there for you. Amen. And I just think of the people that are going through stuff. You know what? Resurrection power is there. I just got a note last night that my Auntie Stella had passed away. And Auntie Stella lived to a ripe old age. She had not too long ago gone into a senior's home. In fact, she sits at a table beside Kent Nickerson, if many of you remember Kent. But I was just, in my heart, I just thought, I'm so happy for her. She is with Jesus. I'm so grateful for the joy of resurrection power, because it literally can bring joy and peace in times like that. I can't imagine us having... not having the hope of the resurrection. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the excitement and a little bit about the glorious appearing that Jesus is going to have, that Jesus brings to us. We're going to take a look in the book of Titus. So some of you struggle looking in your Bibles to figure that one out. You get a head start. Titus is where we're going to go to. I had a friend in Salmon Arm. A family came to our church, and the husband was a truck driver. And he was always gone, like long-haul trucking, you know, drive to California, then over to Texas, to Florida, then up somewhere, and then over to the East Coast. And he'd be gone for weeks at a time before he'd finally get home again. And I remember this one Christmas, he was gone on a long trip, and his daughter, who was about 11 or 12 years old, was so missing her dad and wanted her dad, but he was on a trip. And she got up and came home, and there was a great big present, a big box. And her mom said, go ahead and open it. And she pulled it open, pulled the flap down, and her dad jumped out of the box. Merry Christmas. And she went berserk. She just was so excited. Her dad had made it home for Christmas. And I think about those moments of glorious appearing, those moments when excitement, you know, and something rises up in your heart as you're so excited as you see it. I'm also thinking many times at weddings when you're sitting there waiting and then the door opens and the bride comes in, right? That glorious appearing when everybody's like, oh, she's so beautiful, and they come walking in. And, of course, you always sneak a peek back to the groom to make sure he's crying and then back to the bride. But, you know, there's this glorious appearing that happens, and we've experienced those in little ways in our lives. But I want to tell you that Jesus Christ in his resurrection makes a glorious appearing. He rises from the dead and shocks people, surprises people as he confronts them and shows up in their face and presents himself. And that's where we want to look at today, the glorious appearing, because it was Easter. All hope was lost. The disciples are despairing. They're lost. They, as far as they're concerned, like our video said at the beginning, it is finished. He's dead. Until he wasn't. Until he wasn't. And we have this news that begins to spread. He is alive. He is alive. So in this text, we have this reminder that his appearance is so glorious. Let's read this together. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." I grew up King James, so I grew up with the blessed hope and his glorious appearing. And so that in my head, that's how it always comes across to me. And the reminder is the glorious appearing, that Jesus one day will appear again. But it also points back just a little bit because it says, "For the grace of God has appeared." So it refers back to the time that Jesus did come, that he was there, that he was appearing to us. Through 3 years of Jesus' ministry, he was guiding his people through to what he was doing, what God was up to. His death on the cross accomplished his part in the plan, and his resurrection ensured its efficacy. I tried to think of another word for that because efficacy just seemed like a funny word to say, but it's great effectiveness. The resurrection ensured that it really does what he said it would do, that he would. That in his rising again, my death does pay the penalty of sin. This is a new cup, a covenant for you, and it works. The resurrection, however, interestingly enough, was not a light up the sky revelation to all. Interesting that this great, amazing event happened secretly. Happened quietly. Happen in small ways to start with. And I want to talk about how the glorious grace of our Lord appeared after he rose again. I want to talk about how his glorious appearance began to make its way into our lives. So I'm going to walk through a few of these with you. The first revelation was to the women. Go one for the team for women, right? Jesus chooses his first appearance, and it's not to the men, it's not to the leadership, it's not blazing in the sky, it's to the women who are crying and mourning at his graveside. These faithful, loyal, amazing women, who, by the way, it says, provided the finances for his ministry. Like, these are the women who are backing him 100%, and he appears to them. The reason I like this is not to get into debates about feminism or male chauvinism. Let's just say God makes a very good statement here, that I love all people. There is no distinction. Let's face it. God designed us in a way that we are all equal. Men and women are created equal. There was a created order. You can talk about how God made man first out of the dust, and then from man he made woman. And you could talk about sort of the created order, and the Bible talks about that at places. But it is very clear God saw all that he made, and it was good, very good. Everything was wonderful, and they're to be treated with respect to each other. Not just man to woman and woman to man, but man to creation, to the animals. They were to be good to one another. We're to look after everything. And man's corruption leads to the destruction. And one of the groups within our planet that experienced it the most have been women, who have experienced the arrogance of men who have lorded over them and made it not so pleasant. That's a truth, right? But Christ redeems that. Christ reminds us that his design for our world has not been lost. I will restore the joy that my creation was supposed to have. And so he brings that back in. And it starts even just with this little reminder as he reveals himself to the women. Then his second appearance I want to talk about was how he appears to Thomas. Thomas, the doubting Thomas, the one who said, you know, who missed out maybe on the other appearances, one or two appearances, and he missed out, and in his gloom, he was daring not to believe. But then they said, "No, Thomas, we're telling you, he is alive. We saw him." And he says, "Unless I see the nails in his hands, the nail scars in his hands, and see the wound, touch it, then I won't believe. It's a despairing, terrible thing to live without belief. To just live in the darkness of I can't believe. And you know what? There are so many people in our world who don't, they just don't dare to believe anymore. I've been hurt too many times. I've been stung too many times. I don't know where it's going to come from, but I don't dare to believe anymore. But God appears, Jesus appears gloriously to Thomas. Go ahead, Thomas. Touch my hands. Look at my side. See where the blood flowed from my side, where the spear scarred me. Look at it. I'm here. Jesus' glorious appearance restores belief. Belief that we can dare to believe that God's got something better in store, that God is doing something. Even if I can't see it, even if I don't understand it, I have belief and in my heart that leads to all kinds of amazing things like hope and boldness and ways that we can engage life. Because why? Because we believe. Jesus appears to Thomas and he restores belief. And then we go to his appearance to Peter. And Peter, if you were here Friday, on Good Friday, I talked about Peter and his many failures. Because Peter certainly represents a good many of us who are well aware of how many times we failed. Okay, there's a group of people, some of you represented here, I'm sure, that hesitate to try anything because you don't want to fail. So you don't try anything. You don't attempt anything. And you don't fail and you feel better. But then again, you didn't try anything. You didn't go for anything. You got to risk failure. Peter was the kind of guy who went for it. He tried it. He was bold. He pulled the sword out and slashed the ear off of one of the priests when Jesus was arrested. He was going to go for it. Jesus rebukes him. What are you doing, Peter? He said, well, you told me to get a sword. He's like, doesn't get it, right? He's struggling with this. Jesus said, I'm going to go now. I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die. We're on our way to Jerusalem, guys. It's time. No, you're not, Jesus. Let's stay right here. Get thee behind me, Satan, he says to Peter. Oh, Peter's been smacked between the eyes many times. And none greater, of course, than when he betrays Jesus three times. And the lady says to him, aren't you that one of those friends? I'm sure you are. And he says, no bleepity bleep way. Bleepity leave me alone. Bleepity bleep. And he's like, I am not that guy. And in one of the Gospels, it says he looks up just then and Jesus was walking across somewhere being carried out and he looks and he catches his eye. Oh, ooh, ooh. I mean, you've done that, right? Where you've talked about somebody behind their back and only to find out they're actually behind you. And you turn and you went, oh, I've been caught. And you just have this sinking feeling. You feel so sick about what you just did. Can you imagine what Peter said about Jesus and then sees him and then hears the rooster crow and then it's just like, ah. Jesus' appearance to Peter. We call it the restoration of Peter in John chapter 21 when Jesus comes to meet them in Galilee and they're out on the boat fishing and this guy says, cast your net on that side. And they can't quite see for some reason. They're not sure who it is. And when they cast the net, they catch 153 fish so big that it was hard to pull in. And Peter realizes it's Jesus and he jumps out of the boat and he wades through the water, gets to the shore. Jesus is there. He's got a fire going and he restores Peter in relationship. He says, do you love me, Peter? And Peter says, you know I love you, God. They have this amazing moment where he says, feed my sheep, and he restores him. I'm not holding this against you. It is so amazing, the glorious appearing of Jesus with forgiveness so that he can forgive our sins so that we can be restored in relationship. And that's how Jesus appears. He comes and he brings restoration of relationship. And then there's one, this one here, strange because it's an appearance of Jesus. Paul calls it as of one not born at the right time, abnormally born. He has an appearance of Jesus to him after Jesus went up into heaven. Because you know the story that Jesus was on the earth for a while, and then he goes up into heaven, and he's back in the heavenlies with his Father, and that's where he's staying until it's time to return. But this special occurrence happens where Paul is on a rampage. He thinks that he's got purpose in his life. I'm going to wipe out the Christians. I will make a name for myself. I will become heralded as the great purger of these delinquent people. And I will fix our religion and God will honor me. And he's got it all set what he's doing. And in fact, let me go to Damascus and I'll haul up and round up some more of those Christians and we'll get this wiped out. And they say, go for it. And so off he goes to Damascus. And on the way, he gets blinded by a blinding light. And Jesus meets him and says, Paul, why are you antagonistic and attacking me? What are you doing? And who are you? He says, I am Jesus, the one that you're persecuting. He has this amazing encounter. But what happens is it restores Paul's life. It restores him to purpose. In his, as he shares that very story to Agrippa, the king, and he's on trial, and he shares the story with Agrippa, and when he talks about what this event was, he says, I was given a new purpose. I met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he told me, Paul, I want to use you to go to the Gentiles, and I want you to proclaim the good news to them about me. And you're going to do this and you're going to be my witness to the Greek-speaking people. And Paul embraced that calling. And I want to tell you, when Jesus shows up, he reignites purpose into our lives. And there are so many people in our world who just absolutely lack purpose. So many people who just go, why am I doing this? I'm happy to report they had the first Alpha at Steveston. It went very well. Lily Mae was very encouraged. They had dozens of people that responded to the ads, and some of them absolutely brand new. One of them, she said, made this statement. I saw this ad, and it said, have you ever wondered what your purpose is? And I thought, yes, and he's there. Praise God, because that catches people. Why? Because they read it, and they go, yes, of course, I have wondered, what is my purpose? Paul thought he had purpose. He thought that he had the right direction. He was settled on it, and God confronts him and says, you don't have the right purpose, Paul. I need to change that in you, and I'm going to give you a new purpose, a restoration of purpose. I think we could all use that. Jesus is still appearing to people. All over the world, he's appearing to people, and it's glorious. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 tells us that, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone listens to my voice and hears me and invites me in, I will come in and I will fellowship with them. It's an imagery of Jesus saying, I'm still there. How is that possible? I thought he went back to heaven. Well, as the story goes, after the resurrection and he appears to many people, and Peter mentioned it there, and it's mentioned also by Paul that Jesus appeared to many people, to the disciples, to the women, to the leaders, to Peter later. He appeared to, at one time, 500 people in one gathering. And then he was lifted up and ascended into heaven. And they all watched as he went up into heaven. But then they went back and he said, I want you to go back to Jerusalem and wait there for me, because I'm going to send you a gift. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he pours out the Holy Spirit on them on the day of Pentecost, and they're filled with the Spirit, and it transforms the community. And the church is launched in an amazing way. Now, what is going on with this Spirit? This is the Spirit of Christ. You know, without getting to the technicalities of it, you might understand that the Christian faith believes in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three in one. They are all God. They are one God. But there is the person of the Holy Spirit, who is the presence of God now, since Christ went up, they sent the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is now active in our world. And what's his job? According to John chapter 14, John chapter 16, is the Holy Spirit is coming and presenting Christ to people. He is making Christ real to people. He's coming and he's agitating their souls and their hearts. It may not be something you see visually, although there have been people who have seen Christ in visions. But most of the time, it's an agitation in the heart where we begin to sense that God is speaking to me. that God is trying to get my attention, that something's stirring inside of me, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. What is he doing? He wants you to know Jesus. He wants you to have his glorious appearing to them. And through this appearing, we receive the restoration of life as it was meant to be. Jesus said that. He said, I have come that you would have life to the fullest. And when the Holy Spirit comes and we allow the Holy Spirit to enter our life, to bring Christ in real, make him real to us, in that is the restoration of eternal life. And that includes all the things that we've already heard. It includes the fact that your value comes back, that suddenly you realize you are loved. You are loved. How hard is that for some people to believe and to understand that they are loved? They sit there thinking, no one cares, no one loves me. You are loved. You're not just loved superficially. You're not just loved for a few things that you do. You are deeply loved just for who you are. This is the foundation of life welling up again. And same with restoration into fellowship, restoration into God's relationship. And when that life pours into you, you start to see life coming into the relationships around you, into your marriage, into your children, into your friends. And you begin to embrace a new life of relationship with others that is from the power of God in his glorious appearing in your life. And it goes on. It continues to build. You find new purpose. You find new ways of living that God makes real to you. This is the restoration of life that God wants to bring to us when he appears to us. So the Holy Spirit is making clear Jesus to people and restoring them into eternal life. And then there is one last one, the one that we saw in our text. He starts in the text with grace has appeared to us, and I've explained a number of those appearances. But it also says that we look forward to the glorious appearing. You know, Jesus, maybe in the first resurrection, came in quietly to a few people here and there, a crowd, enough people that we have evidence that we say it's evident, there's witnesses that attest to the fact that Jesus really did rise again. If there were no witnesses, we might say this is a hoax. We might say that we're dreaming and we're hoping and we're wishing that he rose again. But when we have so many witnesses, enough that we can say there is the attesting of many people who said, I saw him. He did rise again. But he came in such a subtle way as he rose again. But it says in this glorious, glorious appearance that he will unveil himself to the world. We believe very much that Jesus rose again and he went to heaven, but that he's coming back. That he's coming back. And one day, you know, we have songs that talk about the scrolls be rolled back like a cloud, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, we have songs that talk about that glorious appearing of Jesus when he comes back. And I don't know how it's all going to go. I know this, that all of us who love Jesus, all of us who have responded to him and invited him into our lives, that moment becomes the most glorious of all appearings, that Jesus has come back. And finally, the full end of sin and the end of evil and the end of all things is there, and our risen Lord will receive us to himself, and we usher in eternity. We usher in a heaven. We see the great coming of Jesus as being the final restoration of all things in him. And it's joy for everyone who knows and believes in him. This is the glorious appearing. And that's The resurrection from the life points to a return that he's going to have. And if he's come, even those who have died, like my Auntie Stella, she will be raised again because Christ rose again, defeated death. Death will not hold her down. Death won't hold my mom down. Death won't hold my dad down. Death won't hold my big brother down. They will come, and the heaven comes, and they'll be back there alive with him who is our Savior at his glorious appearing. The question, I guess, is this: has the risen Lord appeared to you? Has he appeared to you? You say, well, What do you mean, Pastor? Well, I don't know. Maybe just as I've been talking, you've been sensing in your heart the stirring. Your mind's been questioning things, and you're talking to yourself a little bit. But there's something deep down inside that stirs, and it's the Holy Spirit, and He's saying, this is real. I am real. I am here. The Holy Spirit is helping Jesus to make a glorious appearance to you. Maybe this was earlier in the week. Maybe this was not too long ago. Maybe this is right now in this very minute. But you know that the Holy Spirit has made Jesus appear to you, and you've had to reckon with that. You've had to reckon with that. It's a contrast. It's a contrast I have seen and I have experienced, and it is overwhelming. A contrast of His great love against the backdrop of my pathetic life. I'll be honest. There, when I'm in the presence of Jesus, my life becomes very pathetic. I honestly become so aware of how far short I fall. I'm aware of my unworthiness. I am aware of the terrible things I've done and thought. I am aware I have guilt. I am aware of the lack of belief that I've had, where I've just acted as though I only have today and I can't believe for anything tomorrow. It might be even the aggressive way I've attacked life, as if it's all my decision and what I'm going to make of it, and I've gone after life and I thought I could make it something special, and then in the presence of Jesus, I am undone because I realize all my futile effort can't produce anything valuable. Most of the great things in my life have been because of the blessing of God and not because of my great effort. This is what happens when He appears to us. There's this contrast that can be overwhelming, but it calls us to respond. So I want to encourage you with the biblical response. The biblical response to this appearing. And the first step is that we simply admit that we fall short. Don't try and hide your issues. Put them right there in the open. The great thing about relation with Jesus Christ is we don't hide our shortcomings. We don't hide our faults. We don't have to pretend like we're not have done bad things. But we embrace them. We fully acknowledge them. We can say, Jesus, You are so well aware of these thoughts, of these actions, of these things I've done. And I have sat with many people who have looked at me and said, Pastor, if you only knew what I did. And I've heard some pretty horrific confessions. But I can tell you this, there's nothing you could say or tell me that I could not look at you and say, but Jesus still loves you. And He can handle it. So go ahead and just admit it. You fall short. Just admit it. The second thing we can do is, because of this work of the Holy Spirit in us, it's reminding us, I'm not here to beat you up. I'm not here to take those sins that you've just confessed and throw them in your face and say, well, if you beg real hard, I'll let you. God is not playing a game with you. He is simply standing there and offering to you forgiveness. He's inviting you into eternal life. He is making that invitation. Yes, you just confessed all these terrible things, but yet He stands there and says, that's okay. I already knew that. I've been watching you. I'm there. You've never been out of my sight. But yet I stand here and I offer you, if you want it, eternal life. I offer you forgiveness for those sins. And you have the option now to say yes to Jesus. You have the option to give Him permission to pour His love into your hearts. And let me tell you, folks, I have been undone when God pours His love upon me. I've been at altars like this one right here. I've been at altars in many churches where I have come and I have just said, God, I'm so sorry, and I've received Your love. And He just pours like the other song says, billows of love. You know, they just keep rolling over me as I realize how much God wants to pour His love into my life, how much He wants to pour His love into your life. But it starts with you receiving it, saying, Lord, I receive it. I'm willing to let You love me. The third area, the third response would be a commitment. It sets us free. You're now in a place of freedom. You've admitted your wrongdoing. You've received his love. In this moment, you're now set free. But now, where do you go from here? So in that moment, you make a commitment. You say, Jesus, I commit loyalty to you. I commit for your lordship over my life. My life before this was characterized by me being in charge and me deciding everything that I think I should do. But my life right now is going to be committed to what you want in my life. Now, I promise you, it's a messy process because you're not going to be very good at it. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. You're going to find yourself doing what you used to do just so naturally because instinctively you can't help it. But God is going to commit to you too. And he's going to be loyal to you, and he's going to help you, and he's going to work with you. And I think right at this very moment is you start by committing yourself, commit loyalty to him. Let him direct your life from now on. And as you do this, this is the right response, I think, to God. And as you do this, you join the millions who are excitedly awaiting his glorious appearing. People like myself and many here in this room who can't wait for the day when, like a sun blazing through the clouds, we see Jesus coming through the sky and we realize he's back, he's here, he's returned. And it's done. So I want to pray. I'm going to invite Glenn's going to come back. And I just want to take a moment in this moment of quietness and invite you to even just close your eyes for just a moment and ask yourself, has Jesus been appearing to you? Has Jesus been appearing to you? Has the Holy Spirit been stirring into your heart something? And I guess the real question is, have you said yes to him? Have you been willing to admit that you fall short? Have you been willing to receive the gift that he's offering you? Have you been willing to commit your loyalty to him? This is a good spot right now where you can make that decision. In fact, I'd like everybody to keep your eyes closed, if you don't mind, just to respect the privacy of this moment. Keep your eyes closed, but I do want to ask if there's how many here today would like to make that this decision today. Today, I will admit. Today, I will believe. Today, I will commit my loyalty to him. Would you look, just lift your head a little bit, maybe raise your hand and catch my attention. I want to pray for you. You'd say, yes, today is the day I want to make that decision. How many? Just raise their hand. Thank you. Thank you. How many others would like to raise their hand, join these few, and say, yes, that was me. Thank you, Jesus. I'll wait just a moment longer. The Spirit's been appearing to you. The Spirit's making Jesus real to you, and you just need to say yes. Maybe some of you think, well, I am a Christian already. It literally just might be that you've walked away from some of these commitments, and you're just needing to restore that right now. That's okay. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray right now for each person in this room. I pray especially for those that just acknowledge that they want to make that decision today. They want to make you their Lord. They want to be set free. They want to be restored, Lord. And I pray that you would appear to them in glorious ways, that you begin to pour your love into their lives, set them free in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, for the many Christians here today, Lord, who have perhaps wandered from some of these pledges, maybe have wandered from some of these confessions, have forgotten how far short they fall, or forgotten, Lord God, that they were to be open channels and vessels to be filled with your love. They have forgotten, perhaps, Lord, their commitment of loyalty to you. And I pray in the name of Jesus, you restore again, renew and restore as of old the commitment that they have made, Lord. Thank you for this, Lord Jesus. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us into great ways, and may we all get excited as we await the glorious appearing, the blessed hope of your return. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church.
I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at ladnerlife.com. That's www.ladnerlife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.